When you look at the industrialized world, during the 40s and 50s, the most long-lived people, most widely recognized as the healthiest people, were the Okinawans. They lived to be an average about 85, 87. And there was a pair of identical twins, brothers. Bradley Wilcox became an MD at Harvard Medical School. His brother Craig Wilcox, a PhD in pharmacy from Harvard School of Medicine. And they spent 25 years in Okinawa studying the Okinawans, hoping to find whatever it was helped them live to be 100, why they had so many 100-year-olds, so they could put it in a pill and become billionaires. They spent 25 years of their life living there. And they asked these people how many hours they slept, how many steps they took, how many times a day they took a pee, how many times a day they took a poop, and all that kind of usual stuff. They took blood samples, and they really couldn't put their finger on it, so they just put everything they had learned in the book, The Okinawa Program. It was a bestseller for 3 seconds. Because it was so boring. I mean, it was the answer. Just sort of a flash and it was gone because there was really no information in there. It was just how many steps people took, how many hours they slept, that kind of stuff. Well, Blake Graham, many of you have met him. He was here a couple of months ago. Blake Graham actually married a little Okinawa gal, Naibi. And so he and I went to Okinawa for a week to study ourselves. Now, we took everything these two guys learned. And we said, we're not going to ask those questions again because they already did. And we'll believe their 25 years of research. We're not going to redo it. And so we're only going to ask one question when we get there. And to make a long story short, we spent 3 days in the Department of Agriculture studying soil analyses to see if there's something unique about their soil. And it turns out that there was nothing unique. It was kind of like red sandy clay, very much like the soil in the state of Georgia in the United States. They're famous for red sandy clay. It had a little extra iron in it, but nothing spectacular. The last 4 days, we spent talking to a dozen or so 100-year-olds, a dozen or so 90-year-olds. We asked them only one question. They were very happy about that. We divided them up into the men and into the women, and we asked them one at a time so they couldn't get some information from the other person. We wanted to know what each one of them thought about one question. The guys we asked, what did you do with the wood ashes and rice straw ashes every morning from the previous day's heating and cooking? And the guys said, we don't know. We were doing the ninja stuff with the swords and taking care of horses, and we never paid attention to that. Every man isolated answered the question the same way. Now, every woman, when we asked her the same question, what did you do with the wood ashes and the rice straw ashes from the previous days eating and cooking? Every one of them said, and they wanted to talk about this for hours, by the way, they just said, well, nobody has ever asked us these questions. Of all the years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of people doing research on us, nobody's ever asked us what we did with the wood ashes and the rice straw ashes. Well, we took the wood ashes and we put them in the garden as fertilizer. Plant minerals going into the garden and their vegetables and grains had the plant minerals in them. And then we took the rice straw ashes separately and put it in the noodle dough and rice when we cooked it because it turned them yellow and they tasted better. And so they're also getting what's called culinary ashes by anthropologists. They're putting the ashes in their food. And you see this in South America and Mexico where people make tortillas. They don't just put lard and cornmeal in tortillas. They put lard and cornmeal and wood ashes in there. Okay, getting plant minerals. Have you ever wondered why people in third world countries with no dentist have such beautiful teeth? They always smile and there's those beautiful teeth. They don't go to a dentist to get root canals and scrape their gums and all that kind of stuff. That's because they're getting plant minerals through the wood ashes. Oh yeah, and then one last thing. Every woman said one more thing. They said, and every morning there was an ash merchant come by. I'd never heard of that. Every morning an ash merchant would come by and buy the excess ashes, and they'd separate it out into the wood ashes and the rice straw ashes. And the ash merchant would then go and sell these ashes to farmers. The wood ashes to farmers for fertilizer. Farmers had maybe themselves and a couple of kids, and they didn't produce any more wood ashes than anybody else, and they needed more to fertilize their bigger fields. And also they would sell the rice straw ashes to bakers so that their noodles and their rice would be yellow instead of white. So I thought that was kind of profound. It was an industry. And U.S. patent number one, in 1780-something, 87, when the U.S. Patent Office first came into being, U.S. patent number one, if you've read the book Hell's Kitchen, you know that U.S. patent number one was a patent for making white wood ashes. They put a steel plate about a foot off the ground. They chopped almost every tree on the eastern seacoast in the United States, in America, the colonies, I guess, at that time. And they put the wood as they burned it underneath the steel plate, which then reflected more heat down, burned off the excess carbon in the plant minerals, the wood ashes, so that they were white instead of black or gray. If you have a low heat fire, the ashes are going to be gray or black because they do have a little bit of carbon in there. And so to get the ashes white, which they called potash, we equate that with fertilizer today, but back in those days, potash was used in cooking recipes. And they specifically wanted potash because it was white. They didn't want bread that looked gray for putting wood ashes in it. They wanted potash. So when you look at the old recipes from 500 years ago, they specifically asked to put potash in the recipes. And the potash was the wood ashes that came out from underneath the pot, whether it was a copper pot or a cast iron pot, because the pot reflected more heat down, and the wood ashes right underneath the pot was white. The wood ashes out in the cooler parts of the fire were gray or black. So this kind of stuff kind of excites me because it tells me where people got mineral supplements. Milan and I were changing planes in Texas back in July of 2004, and there's an article about Bolivia finding new oil reserves and natural gas reserves. That didn't interest me so much, but the government was displacing the indigenous people for the money, of course. And there was this wonderful little picture and legend underneath the picture which fascinated me. It says, Bruno Paz, this guy here, one of Bolivia's indigenous Aymara Indians, holds a bowl of llama manure he's using to feed his cooking fire. You see his thumbs in that dirty bucket of llama manure. And you know it's cold in his little hut because he's got 5 shirts on and a sweatshirt and his parka's on, his ear flaps are down. He's got soot all over the inside of his hut. You can see all the ashes on his cooking pots. Not a very hygienic situation. No indoor plumbing, no electricity. There's absolutely no access to hospitals and clinics and doctors and pharmacies and pharmaceuticals and pharmacists. No private insurance, no government insurance. I mean, there is nothing there. You would not go to Bolivia and go where the Aymara Indians live for health care. That would not be your first choice. When you look at the National Geographic reference series, the Aymara Indians live in this little boot heel of Bolivia up against Lake Titicaca in the Andes Mountains, very close to the northern Chile and southern Peru. In this area here, the people have more 100-year-olds at that time than any other persons on Earth. They have 100-year-old per 500 population with nothing that we consider necessary for health care. They have 100-year-old per 500 population. We have 100-year-old per 10,000. They have 20 times 100-year-olds we do. And their life sucks. And that's because they're putting plant minerals into their gardens and making their tortillas with wood ashes and animal manure ashes. Did Americans ever do that? Sure, crossing the prairie. Back in the old colonial days, starting with the first Virginia colonies, they put wood ashes in their gardens and mixed wood ashes in their food. Well, this all remained the same from the time of the Neanderthals, some 35 to 50,000 years ago, depending on which anthropologist you believe, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882, everything changed. We know that because there was a newspaper report, there were pictures. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882, this guy came along, Thomas Edison, and his chief electrical technician turned on the switch for the first commercial electric generating plant on Pearl Street, New York City, on a bluff overlooking the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge. That began to change everything. By 1909, there was no less than a dozen patented electrical kitchen appliances you could find in the Sears catalog. By 1950, in every town, in every industrialized nation, in every town, in every city, everybody, all cultures in the world, had converted from wood as the universal fuel to electricity, natural gas, propane, kerosene, heating oils, liquid paraffin, and here comes the most profound health question you'll ever have. How many wood ashes are left over when you use electricity, propane, natural gas, kerosene, heating oils, and liquid paraffin for fuel? I'll give you a hint. It's a numeral that looks like this and begins with a Z, zero. And unless you are consciously supplementing with plant minerals, you're not going to get them. And you're going to shorten your life, and you're going to have all these horrible diseases that are directly attributed to mineral deficiencies. And that completes the circle. And so that's why we're so excited about plant minerals, because they're the missing piece. You take plant minerals, you take all the 90 essential nutrients, you're going to add 25 to 50 healthy years to your life. You don't do it, regardless of how rich you are, how smart you are, how much college you have, how many miles you run every day, you're going to die before 100. It's going to cost you in terms of misery and time and money. This came out February 2nd, 2007. the Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica, South America. If you like mystery, you're going to love this one. The most primitive people in the Western Hemisphere are the longest lived people on Earth now. Little people, 75,000 people. Their average lifespan is 90. For the 75,000 people or so who live in the Nicoya Peninsula, life proceeds much the way it has for hundreds of years. Now you're beginning to get a clue already. Life is going as it has for hundreds of years. The Nicoyans make their living as small farmers, laborers, or sabaneros, which are the cowboys who work in the area's huge cattle ranches. Judging by the dusty villages where neighbors hang out on porches, are the rural homes where women still cook on ancient wood-burning stoves. You'd never guess that the Nicoya is the longest-lived place in America, but actually the world. They're still using wood ashes in their tortillas. They're still putting wood ashes in their gardens. They don't have health care, for God's sakes. They're giving their bodies the basic raw materials, plant minerals. We recruited a world-class team of scientists and media to unravel the mystery as to why people here are living so long. And they're going to do genetics testing, and they're going to ask them how many times a day they take a pee, how many hours they sleep every day, and all that kind of crud, and they'll never put their finger on it. Oh, it's genetic. But I guarantee you, the Nicoyans, you take them as a kid, you bring them up here and let them eat like we do in Indiana, they'll live to be 75. You take people from Indiana if they're newborn, and you take them down to the Nicoya and let them eat like the Nicoyans do, they'll live to be 100. Because it's the plant minerals. They're giving them their health. It's not some health care system. It's not exercising every day. It's the plant minerals.
Information and statements regarding dietary supplements discussed have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.